appreciate your appearance here today. Your case is submitted and you are excused.
Thank you.
The final case this afternoon is Hofer versus Miller. I am recused. Judge Pirtle will be participating on briefs, and Judge Reedland will take over presiding.
Are we ready?
Whenever you're ready.
Okay, may it please the court, Ms. Peterson. My name is Tim Brulette. I'm an attorney in North Platte. I represent the plaintiffs' appellants, Glenn Cofer and Maureen Cofer. 1987 graduate of Kearney State College at the time, which is University of Nebraska-Kearney, so it's nice to see these folks here.
1977.
All right. This case is also rural. This is a cattle case. It's about cattle. The case originated in 1997 when my clients leased cattle by a written lease agreement, which is Exhibit 1 in the record, to the defendants, the Millers, Miller family. And the lease was not only of cattle, but there was also a crop share arrangement in that lease. There was also a pasture lease. So it did pretty much three things. I think the big issue before this court on appeal is the cattle, though. There was some decisions that court had made, Judge Picklow in the lower court, had made concerning the cattle and awarded our clients a judgment initially. I think that judgment net was around $27,000. Ms. Peterson, on behalf of her clients, filed a motion for new trial or motion to reconsider. I think the 5 months that intervened in between the time of the trial and the time of considering that motion for new trial, a lot of the evidence may have gotten mixed up. And primarily, what I'm talking about is there's 11 cattle here. The court found that 92 cattle were returned. Initially, there was 117 cattle that were leased to the Millers. 92 were returned. The court indicated that. The court also indicated that on top of that 92, there was 11 pregnant cattle or calves, which the court did not give.
We had to do a lot of learning about.
Yes, I know.
First
open
cattle heifers.
there was a part of the calf, what we argued was part of the calf crop. Those 11 came back in addition to the 92, and the court awarded $1,200 for the 13 cattle that were not part of the original 117, which was leased. Time of the lease, all 117, 1997, they were all pregnant, meaning that this guy could go on, he could raise those cattle, they would do the crop share kind of cattle where my clients as the owners would get 70%, he'd get 30%. There was something called retained heifers, which that sometimes those cattle would not have babies, so they sell them, and then they take some of the calves and bring them back in, and that's exactly what happened here. But the 11 cattle, when the judge reconsidered it, Judge Picklow reconsidered it, those 11 cattle that were pregnant that were brought back, I think the court, when it reconsidered, made a mistake. And that's primarily, there's other things we said in our brief, but I think that mistake was not only did he give the defendants credit for $1,200 times 11, which is $13,200, but he also said, oh yeah, and these cattle were pregnant, so let's give him those babies that which haven't been born yet. We're going to give him $1,200 for each of those babies in those 11 cattle. And I think that's what happened on the motion for new trial. They ended up getting $13,200 credit for the 11 cattle and $13,200 for those babies that hadn't been born yet. And I think it was probably because I think arguably Judge Picklow had it right the first time around. Yes, he threw out our replevin action because it was time barred, and I think there's evidence that can show that. I could argue differently, but yes, he threw out the conversion action because there was no conversion and there was no evidence of conversion, which I believe.
Can I stop you for 1 second?
Sure.
Those 11. So these 11 pregnant.
Right.
That's probably how many.
Right. That could be. Right. Right. That's correct.
Had the Cofers had room for them, mm-hmm. under the normal scheme of things, would those cattle have gone to the Cofers?
They would have gone to the Cofers. Absolutely.
So they wouldn't have. The Cofers then wouldn't have had the expense of
having been fed by the Millers, correct?
Exactly.
But those cows belong to them, correct?
They were part of their crop share. I think the evidence showed.
And that's part of your argument of, well, you wouldn't get those, had there had been room for those cows, the Millers wouldn't have gotten the calves.
That's correct.
Okay.
I mean, they would have, the 92 plus the 11 would have came back.
But they did pasture them and take care of them.
And they did.
And so that fee is arguably fair, what the judge apportioned for that, but not giving them the value of the unborn calves.
I would agree. The fee that the judge had given them, but for their own cattle, them to pay the fee and have to pay back for them, I think is, but I would agree, the fee, some of the credits that the judge, we had argued on it, but I think that primarily on that motion for new trial, the $13,200 for the babies that weren't born yet.
Well, and the interesting thing is when the lease was started, the Millers took possession of the 117 in November, right? And they were all pregnant.
That's correct.
Right.
That is correct.
So arguably, if you're returning them around that same time, they should all be pregnant.
That is correct. And I can understand the judge saying, you know what, they're pregnant cattle, I'm going to give them credit for it on the initial decision. I mean, I can understand, you know, we argued in our brief that wasn't correct because they already owned them, but I can understand.
The whole crossbred thing, can you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. I want to make sure I understand.
Yeah, so, you know, you're.
Oh, no, yes, the initial lease talked about 117 crossbred cattle.
Right, happily saying that does not mean that they had to be pregnant.
Well, I think it does because they, you know, the evidence was that initial 117, all of them were at the time of delivery under the lease, were pregnant. And that's what the COFRs expected to receive back. And I think that the lease, in its words, say, all right, at the end of this lease, give us back. And yes, it was 20 years later, but give us back our 117 pregnant cattle. And that's all, that was the benefit of the bargain. That's what the lease required. That would have made them whole. Arguably.
But the term crossbred doesn't mean pregnant. The crossbred means they're not purebred.
That is correct, right. But I think the evidence reflects that they were bred or pregnant at the time. But yes, that is correct. They were not Holsteins or any particular breed of cattle, as I understand it. But
do you think it's a deficiency that the agreement doesn't specifically say that they're leasing 117 head of pregnant crossbred stock cattle?
Well, I think it says 117 head of crossbred stock cattle is what it says under paragraph.
I mean, we understand the evidence suggests that they were pregnant, but the contract
correct.
Itself.
And I would agree that the contract in and of itself does require that the 117 be returned. It does not say that they have to be pregnant.
That was the finding of the district court.
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct. And I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. But the with the court's decision on that, but our whole concern is to make sure that they're not only paying for the feed of these calves that were now pregnant, but they're also paying for the babies and they're also paying for the calves themselves. And I think that's not the way a normal lease agreement of cattle works. So I would, unless there's any questions, I will reserve the minute and a half time I have left for rebuttal, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Good afternoon. I may it please the court, Mr. Brulette. I'm not an alum of UNK. Please don't hold that against me. but I am impressed with the questions on the terminology. You guys have done some of your own research here too. I'm Lindsay Peterson. I'm here on behalf of the appellee, the Miller family, who entered into this lease with the appellant in 1997, a written lease. To start off with, I'd point out that the written lease itself at Exhibit 1 says this is a year-to-year lease, which allows this to be modified on an annual basis. We are here today as the appellee. But we actually felt like the judge got the calculations and some of the interpretations of the lease wrong in its order. That's why we filed the motion for new trial, and we made the determination that while there was about $14,000 in damages, appeals are expenses too, but since we're here, I'm going to be talking about both our cross appeal and the appeal, which I think go hand in hand just with purely the interpretation. This isn't an issue of what the law is or what, but it's an interpretation of what the facts are. So one of the first questions that I want to address is crossbred, and that was exactly on my list, that was something that the court read into the lease that isn't actually in the lease. There's nothing in the lease that requires 117 head of bred cattle be returned. What it requires is crossbred cattle, which is a type of cattle. For example, my family would enter into a lease for Angus cattle, but if we wanted to do a lease with somebody that had Hereford bulls and we had the Angus cows, that would be a crossbred cattle, bovine. So
there's no dispute, right, that 117 of these cattle were pregnant?
I don't recall, actually, if that was in the record. It would be my assumption. And even from the Pelley's position, obviously we want as many bred cows as possible because that's how he makes money, too. So it would be assumed that the cows were probably bred. They might have come to the Pelley, had a pregnancy check sometime in there. And then the lease also provides that unproductive cows can be culled at the discretion of the appellee. One of the things that is in the record at Exhibit 10 is a report of the cattle that Mr. Miller provided every single year for the appellant. They understood exactly what cows they had, exactly how old the cows were, and exactly what happened to all of their cows. So the other part of what the court read into this lease that we don't believe the court should have read in is that 117 cows is still what was supposed to be returned in 2019, 22 years after this initial lease came in. Now, if you look at Exhibit 10 specifically, you'll see that there's a year in 2012 where there are no cows that are retained. That was a drought year, that's in the testimony, and that Mrs. Cofer, the appellant, decided not to retain any replacement heifers. That was a decision she made, and therefore that was an annual modification to her lease, changing the total number of head from 117 down to whatever she chose to keep that year. That's not something that now she should be able to come back 10 years later and say, I chose not to keep these cows in my herd, but now, Mr. Miller, appellees, you should pay me for these, even though I was aware, I chose, and I decided not to keep these cows in my herd. So we also think that there's an estoppel agreement here that we brought up in our brief that we think should prevent the court from awarding her damages when she has been aware of the entire of the number of her herd. We also argued in our brief that we think the court erred in its calculation between Mrs. Cofer and the Brissy cattle, which are her daughter's cattle. The year after 2012, Mr. Miller decided that he could take on the additional 20 head of Brissy cattle, and the court found that those were two separate entities.
Can I ask you a question about that? The Brissy cattle, she bought 20 cattle from him, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's
so
correct.
Those are separate and apart from the 117.
So what the testimony was that Miss Brissy bought those cattle separate, but that Mr. Miller would have never taken that 20 head of cattle on if Ms. Cofer, the appellants, wanted to retain their numbers at 117. So because Mrs. Cofer had reduced, the appellant had reduced 117 down by about 20 numbers, he was then able to take Ms. Brissy's cattle on to raise that number back up to 117. So
there's no agreement to that effect, and in fact the whole branding situation, Brissy wanted a separate brand, which clearly separated her cattle from her parents' cattle. Your client refused to do that, insisted on using the same brand, right?
That's correct. What the court wrote, and brand, there's a statute that specifically says the brand is the prima facie and evidence of ownership. But the court found that because there was a separate ear tag, that was what was continued to keep the Brissy cattle separate. With that, you know, there wasn't anything in the lease that said anything about ear tags. It specifically said 117 crossbred cows with the brand.
But it says that lessee, which would be the miller, shall return all cattle provided by lessor, which is Cofer's, under this agreement. So return all cattle. 117 are given to him. Aren't 117 expected back of their cattle, not their daughter's?
So I think that's one way to look at that. And if that's the way that you're looking at this particular counting the number of head, then you've got to keep in mind that the only reason why Mr. Miller was willing to take on those separate Brissy cattle was because Ms. Cofer orally agreed to modify her number of head in 2012, because if Mr. Miller had to keep 117 cows under this written lease with the appellant, he would have never taken those cows from her daughter the following year. And so if we are treating these as two separate entities, then I think we've got to look at the modification of the lease that occurred in 2012, where Ms. Cofer agreed to reduce 117 head down to the 92 or 93.
Could you take a minute to address the issue that Mr. Brouillette talked about with regard to charging the Cofers for taking care of those 11 heifers that were pregnant, and then also then giving the value of the unborn calves for those 11?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Would be happy to. One of the things that the court found in its order was there were 131 head of cattle returned. 24 of those were 24 cows were Brissies. 3 of those were heifers of Brissies. Take those away, so that leaves 104 then of Cofer cattle, appellant's cattle. The court then found that there were 11 that were open of those 104. And then also that there were 14 or 11 heifers that had been retained, that the heifers weren't sold.
14 and 11,
yes.
Three were Brissy. Yeah.
Yes. So there were 11 heifers, and then there were 11 open cows. And I think that's where I'm getting confused.
I know. The 11 comes up too often. Yeah.
So there was 104 total, 11 heifers, 11 open. So the heifers should be treated differently than the open cows. The heifers were retained despite being sold as they should have been pursuant to the lease. So Mr. Miller would have retained 100% of that calf crop for those 11 heifers. That was in the lease, that any heifers that he gets to retain 100% of their first calf crop. And most of the time that's done because it's really difficult to calve out heifers. That's not in the record, but you don't know how the heifer is going to handle the pregnancy for the first time. So you get more of an incentive. So those 11 heifers should have received the first calf crop.
But at that point, the lease was terminated. So before they're born, the lease has been terminated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of speculation, really, as you just said. You don't know if there's going to be 11 calves actually born, right? You hope there will be, but there might not be, right? There could be problems. So isn't it speculative to give a value of 11 times the whatever it was, 1,200 or whatever the value was for the calves?
So I think it's appropriate in this case because Mr. Miller tried to get rid of these calves at the beginning when this lease was terminated.
Well, not the babies. I think we're talking about the unborn calves.
Okay, so
you got that in the motion for new trial or reconsideration, right? the judge says, oh, yep, I forgot to award these unborn calves, the value of these unborn calves. That's what I want to stay focused on, is those the lease is done.
Right.
And they're not going to be born until spring.
So what effectively happens then is then he doesn't, if that's the way the court looks at it, that he raised these heifers, he used his bull on them, he paid for all of the vaccines for the mama, he's getting ready to start calving them. He should still, that's where the work is in raising them.
Did he get the 117 in November of 90, whatever it was, 97? That would have been in November. They were already pregnant. They'd already been bred, the cost of the bull, all of that had already happened. So just like he did now. But then those cows, when they had their babies, he got those. Right? Even though the Kofers would have paid for all the cost of getting them to that point in November of 97.
So I think the lease, there's a handwritten note that says there are 25 head of heifers that first year, and that was what he would have retained then for the next year. But if there were cows that had been culled and they had replacement heifers that were kept in, as the lease continued on, then he would have kept any of the calf crop from the first calf heifers continuing forward. So.
But as Judge Reedman indicated earlier, if the Kofers would have been able to take them back earlier in the year, then he would have had no, I mean, they wouldn't have been pregnant yet, right?
Correct.
Yeah. The 11 that we're talking about would not yet have been bred.
Correct.
Right, because that would have happened in the summer or whatever.
And then those expenses, the breeding expenses,
right.
The mineral, the vitamin, the feeding to make sure that the pregnancy was viable and they had a pregnancy in the spring, those expenses would have all been on the Kofers, which they were not. So
they were assessed that in the ultimate judgment, the costs for taking care of those heifers.
So the costs, I think, were associated with the 11 open cows.
I think it says 11 bred cows.
Okay. So that would be one of the things that we think then was off in that initial judgment, is those 11 open cows should have also been, because those should have been gotten rid of in March. They should have been culled. Ms. Kofer chose not to cull them, wanted Mr. Miller to keep them. He tried to go drop them off somewhere but couldn't get rid of them. He's a cattleman. He wasn't going to go let them starve somewhere. So he should have been, so there should have been a calf on there that he would have gotten paid for, which he didn't because Ms. Kofer chose to retain them. And then also then on the 11 open, or the 11 bred heifers. So while Mr. Brulette is arguing that they're doubling up on these bred heifers, we actually think that when you break it down between the open heifers, that he should be compensated for the feed and the expenses in raising these, excuse me, the open cows, not open heifers, that's where there should be also compensation, because those shouldn't have been retained in the herd in combination with the bred heifers that she chose to keep and not sell.
So are you asking for feed and other expenses for the 11 open? I'll start there.
Yes.
Okay. And are you asking for the first of those 11 bred heifers?
So that wasn't something that we had asked for in our initial argument or in the trial court, purely because it was our position that we were returning the number of head that Ms. Kofer was aware that she had modified over the course of the terms of over the course of the last 20 years, that because the court then was still considering this, that we had to replace these 117 head, we had to make some adjustments in how we were asking for damages from the court. But I think if we look at at the modification that occurred, and the court found that there were several other modifications, just not on this particular issue, that we think now, again, Ms. Cofer shouldn't be allowed to come in and say that she should have 117 when she knew that there was less than 117. So I think the calculations can actually be a lot easier.
That'd be nice.
By treating this as the number of head were correctly returned, that there was a modification of the number of head that should have been returned back in 2012. Ms. Cofer knew every year the number of head she was getting. If she had an issue, she could have brought it up. She never did. And that then the 100 or the 14, which the 11 of Ms. Cofer's heifers were, those were the ones that should be compensated for the mineral expenses, and then the 11 open cows would return as part of the number of head. And they should have been culled. They weren't. That was Ms. Cofer's decision. So I think that the easy math is the number of head is correct. We get compensated for the grass, the pasture, the mineral, the out-of-pocket expenses on the heifers, and that's been in our motions.
Thank you.
May it please the court again, Ms. Peterson. A couple of things. One, lease agreement says replacement heifers shall be retained in sufficient numbers to maintain the present herd. That says 117. That's what the agreement says in 1997. I think that reflects that there should be 117 at the end of the agreement.
What about the Miller's argument that changed in 2012?
I don't recall that evidence. I recall the evidence being, now maybe Mr. Miller testified to that and I don't recall it, but I recall the evidence from our client's standpoint saying, I gave him 117, I want 117 back. And that's and in fact, even saying that they were pregnant cows. The argument about the Brissy cattle, 20, you have to realize that Mr. Miller and the Millers own those 20. They're already taking care of them. I don't know where he wouldn't be able to take care of them if the Brissy didn't buy him. He'd had to do something with him. So I don't think, and that goes to the whether or not Ms. Cofer had indicated that, hey, I want to keep less cattle out there, because the Millers are already taking care of those 20 cattle somehow because he owned them.
Is there any evidence in the record from 2012 forward regarding how the replacement situation took place year after year? You know, did they start to rebuild it at all, or?
I don't recall anything in that other than they met every year. And they talked about it. And even the agreement says, hey, when you're deciding on replacement heifers, we're going to come to an agreement on that. And that's what the agreement entails. The only thing I recall is there being some evidence on behalf of our testimony, on behalf of Mr. Miller, indicating that he wanted to cut back. But I think the evidence also shows that Mrs. Cofer, who testified, said, I wanted to keep that herd. I didn't want anything to be cut back. I think that was a surprise to her, and I think that evidence would show that. One other thing that I wanted to bring up is that the 11 open cattle, the judge granted a judgment for that. There was testimony about, I think it was around $5,000. That's completely different than the 11 pregnant cattle, even though they just happen to be both 11. And I think the court certainly appears as though you do understand that. So the judge did order that. We don't argue with that. In addition, the judge had ordered $15,000, which I think the parties don't argue, roughly, in pasture rent. And I think everybody agrees on that. And so I did want to point that out for the record. I think my time is done, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
But while counsel is excused, you're welcome to stick around if you want. We're going to do some Q&A with the students. You're welcome to stick around.
You have a hearing or something.
Should I go get cranky?